Lord, what you've laid out around me, where you've placed me, it's a good thing. Now, I've made that declaration when I have been in tough situations, where I didn't know what was going to happen next. When I had left my role as one time as a college president, and I didn't know what I was going to do at 58 years of age, and I didn't know what. But in the middle of that confusion, how I was going to put bread on the table, I said, Lord, here's what I know. The boundary lines for me have fallen in pleasant places. I've also declared that same conviction when I've looked around at where I am and I've gone, wow, this is awesome, Lord. Surely you have caused the boundary lines for me to fall in pleasant places. And that's how I feel about being a part of the Torrey Pines Church family. And that's how I feel about living in San Diego. This is a pretty cool place we get to live. That's a beautiful view of the skyline. And then there it is from up top. Look at the Coronado Bridge so beautifully, gracefully crossing the bay there. And then there's Coronado and the base down here and at the top. And then beautiful I-5, especially at 5 p.m. There it is. San Diego, there's about 1.4 million people in this city. And it's been known as America's finest city in polls all over this country. It's the second largest city in California. Did you know that in the Farmer's Almanac, something I'm sure you read every week, it is one of the top 10 best climates, really, in the world. And it's been declared on the Weather Channel as one of the two best summer climates in America. Now, because it's so good, it ain't cheap to live here. Try moving here, homes. The average home price in San Diego is $455,000. But, you know, I guess you get what you pay for, I guess. Then, it's not just cool that we get to live in San Diego. What about where we get to do life together? I mean, La Jolla. I mean, that's like the cherry on the sundae. I mean, it's pretty cool. I mean, look at some of these pictures of La Jolla. There it is. It's very cool down there as it breaks out of the water. Of course, you have this sacred spot where you come to worship. And then in honor of Bob Bishop and his crew, there we go. That's Bob. You can't see Bob. He's being buried into the sand under the water. Now, not only is this place beautiful that we get to do life together, this part of the city of San Diego, it has been blessed with great wealth and great influence. It's the home to a variety of businesses, great lodging places, great restaurants, there's great shopping, there's great software development here, great finance here, there's real estate here, bioengineering. Some of the cutting-edge bioengineering in the world takes place within a couple of miles of here. Medical practice and scientific research is through the roof. Best in the world we have within 10 minutes of where we're sitting right now. You have the University of California at San Diego, a mile and a half up the road with its 30,000 students. And you have the Salk Institute and Scripps Institution of Oceanography and Scripps Research Institute. It's all here, this La Jolla area. We don't know why it came to be called La Jolla. The Native American tribe that lived here originally, they had a word which meant hole, and it could be to describe the holes or the caves that were down there along the ocean front down there. And another theory is that it's a derivative of the Spanish word for jewel, which is joya. And so I think it's both. I think that a far-seeing founder hundreds of years ago said, someday, this is going to be a hole in the ground that you can pour a lot of money into. And the influence of where we live is very significant. Did you know that the La Jolla Playhouse and San Diego together, well, together those two communities have sent more shows to Broadway than any other city in America, even New York? And, you know, it also became in 2008, the community with the highest home price average in the entire country. That's something you can be proud of, which explains why I live in Hamul, which is the community that probably has the highest per capita number of coyotes in the country. I think it's fair to say that from where we are right now, this 5-mile radius around us with La Jolla and then UTC, Claremont, and Pacific Beach, and as well as the greater city that we're a part of, San Diego, I think it'd be fair to say that we've been blessed. And you know, while there are a lot of really great things about where we live to appreciate, you know, the question is, what really makes a great city? Is it symphony? Is it business? Is it tourist attractions? Is it roadways? What makes a great city? Well, I tell you, it's not just great schools and great neighborhoods and great shopping. Those things are nice, but what makes a great city is great people. People who respect one another, people who care for one another, people who love one another, and then in turn serve one another. That's what makes a great city. And we want to be part of making this city great. By making great people and great families, we want to do what Jesus told us to do, to help people grow into all that God called them to be, making great people who then make this city great. But it's not just becoming great people. It's also meeting big needs in our city. So we're going to talk about meeting big needs in our city during this series. Matter of fact, we are on the brink of making some history around here, because at the end of this series, we are going to have the largest ever serve weekend in the history of the East Lake Network in general and in the history of Torrey Pines Church in particular. And I'm going to share with you how we can do that as we get near the end. You know, this whole series that we're in, I heart San Diego. It all came from a question a few of us heard a few years ago when the speaker asked this group of leaders out there. He said, if your church ceased to exist, would your community even notice or care? If your church disappeared, would the city that you live in even know? That's really a tough, honest question. So in response to that, we decided a long time ago that we want to lead churches that even people who don't attend the church, even people who do not believe one word of the Bible, would say, I might not believe like what they believe, but I am so glad those people are in our city. I'm so glad that they're my neighbor. I'm so glad that they love and serve and help make this community better. That even those who do not call Jesus Lord would love the fact that God's people are here. Now, I believe that over the years, this church has had a positive impact on this community. I mean, from the surf ministry that has impacted the lives of hundreds, if not thousands, of people for the better, to compassion ministries that this church has served over the years, to just you being salt and light where you work, where you live, where you go to school. I think the name of Jesus has been lifted up. So would people care or even notice if Torrey Pines Church ceased to exist? I'd like to think that the answer to that would be yes. I think that they would notice and that they would care. I think we're doing a pretty good job, but I think we can do a way better job. I think we can serve and love and be an even greater force for positive change in our city. Now, if we're going to really, really love our city in a way that transforms our city, then we got to understand this. We are sent people to bless people where we live and work and play. Now, if you're here and you're not a Jesus follower, let's say that you were came with a friend or you were dragged here or whatever, and you're like, I don't believe in Jesus. I don't really am not interested in following Jesus. I am so glad that you're here. And you're going to learn some cool stuff today. You're going to how God intended his people to live. And if ever you have any Christians in your life, you can use this to hold them accountable. Say, hey, man, Robert said, come on, you know, get it together, Holmes. Robert says, start blessing. Now, if you are a Jesus person, if you are a Jesus follower, then you're going to see today that we are not saved / forgiven to just sit. Mm-mm. To say, I know I got mine. I'm good with God. I'm going to live my life best I can. But just don't. I'm going to do a private kind of walking with Jesus. That option is off the table. If you are following Jesus, you are saved to be sent. Jesus' people are sent people. Where do I get that? Matthew 28. Jesus came and told his disciples, I've been given all authority in heaven and on earth. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching these new disciples to obey all the commands I have given you. And be sure of this, I am with you always, even to the very end of the age. He said, go. He never said, just sit. Don't stay where you are. Before he sent the Holy Spirit, he says, get ready because you're going to get power. I'm going to give you everything you need to do to go. Go and make disciples, which all that means is what we call helping people find and follow Jesus. From this passage, we see that this church here at Torrey Pines is people helping people find and follow Jesus. That's why we exist. See the purpose in it? See the movement in it? None of it is just to sit and enjoy until Jesus comes. Built into the reason we exist is he said, go, make disciples. What does that mean for us? That we live our lives in such a way that we are people helping people find and follow Jesus. Wherever in our world, in our cities, in our schools, in our neighborhoods, where we work, if we're a Jesus follower, another way he said it is in John chapter 20. I give you the gift of peace in the same way the Father sent me, I am now sending you. This mission has been handed from disciple to disciple for 2,000 years. The first 11 disciples heard it from Jesus before he ascended, and they took the torch that day from Jesus. And then soon that torch was 120 people in the upper room. And then in one sermon, it went from 120 people to 3,000 people on the day of Pentecost. And then 5,000 people. And then all of Jerusalem is ablaze. And then it starts to go out up to Samaria and the end of Judea. And then it goes nationwide. And then it goes overseas to Rome. It goes all over the Roman Empire. And now it's gone all over the world. Right now, more people are coming to Christ every day than ever in history. I mean, there are countries that are being transformed by the gospel right now. All over this world, that we're living in the time of the greatest revival of the gospel that the world has ever seen. But it all started with one torch coming to the 11 that is now being spread, and it's still being spread today. That's how it happens, disciple to disciple. So that's what we're doing. Right now, this is what we're doing. From that initial Matthew 28, go and make disciples of all nations, the torch has come to us. What are we going to do with it in our generation? Are we going to allow it to be snuffed in our midst? You know, more churches are closing every year than are opening. Torches everywhere are being snuffed out. what's going to happen at Torrey Pines Church? I'll tell you what's going to happen at Torrey Pines Church. This torch is going to burn brighter than it's ever burned before, and it's going to light torches all over this city. We're going to plant churches. We're going to send people out. We're going to make a difference for Christ. We're going to be faithful so that our season, we're able to say to the Lord, we took what you gave us and we multiplied it. That's what this series is all about. How do you do that? We are sent to bless people where we live, work, and play. Just let that sentence resonate and settle into your brain and into your pores even. Here it is. We are sent to bless people where we live, work, and play. And all three of those spaces are important. Sociologists call these the first place, the second place, and the third place. The first place is your home. That's where you live, your house. When you walk in the door and close that door, that room right there, that area, that's your first place. That's where you live. The second place is your job, where you work. That's where you put in your 40, 50 hours. But we all have a third place. The third place, the third space, it could be your favorite restaurant or coffee shop, where like they know your order. If you want to know a classic third space in La Jolla, go to Harry's down in the village. You walk into Harry's and just have a seat and just watch what happens. Pretty soon people come in and the waitress says, "Hey, Joe. Hey, Sally." And yeah, your same booth. Yeah, my same booth. Hey. And then he don't even order. She brings him his order because she knows what he wants. Hey, that's a village down there. It's a community right there. That Harry's restaurant is a third place for a lot of people. A lot of boomers and some millennials. Starbucks is their third place. A place where you hang out, a place where you spend time with friends. My third place is a golf course. I love that place, you know, and I like to hang out with friends for 3-4 hours and just talking and having a good time. That it fills my soul. You know, there's a third place that's just being built right now, just finished, the YMCA. YMCA, one block from here, has been under construction for like a year. That's why they use our build. We let them use our building here for their daycare because they were building their new one. So I've been working out there for a year. I slip over there during my day and lift, and then I come back to work. Well, they just finished, and the weight room now is like 10 times bigger. And it's just gorgeous, you know. And there's machines you can be on, and you look at the ocean. I mean, it's so beautiful. I don't turn on the machine. I just look at the ocean. But someday I'm going to take that next step, you know. But I'm feeling so much better. But if I had turned the machine on, maybe I could fit in that T-shirt. And so, but like downstairs, it's all couches and easy chairs. And there's a little restaurant area there where you can get a protein shake or a little sandwich. Or what are they're creating a third place. All of us have a first place, second place, third place. And we are sent people to bless people where we live, work, and play. Now, all three of these places, these spaces, are important because God's strategy for restoring people and reaching people and restoring our world to sanity, our flag is at half mast today because people in our culture are losing their mind. And God's plan is to restore this world to sanity. And the way his strategy is what we're talking about today. That God's people would bless their first, second, and third place. So God blesses me with love so that now I can unconditionally love others and bless them. Did God love me when I was messed up? You bet. Well, now, because he loved me when I was jacked up bad, I can love people who are broken, hurting, who are living lifestyles completely contrary to what I believe in and what I can affirm. I can love them because God loved me when my lifestyle was the complete opposite of his intention for me. I loved so I can love. God blesses me with forgiveness. Okay, now I can forgive others as I've been forgiven. God blesses me with joy. Now I can encourage and bring joy to others who come into your life so downtrodden, and you bring joy because God's given you joy. God blesses you with resources beyond what you need so that you can give back, sharing some of what God's given you with those who are in real need. So this is a critical point. There is nothing in your life that God has blessed you with that He doesn't intend you to share with others. Everything God has blessed you with, He intended for you to share. He has made you to be a conduit, a conductor. Never, there is not one place in Scripture that says we are blessed to be blessed, that we are the end of God's blessing, that it ends with us, that it's all for us. One, that is not in the Bible. Secondly, if it was, it would kill us. It would rot us. It's the only way we live is as life circulates through us. Cut off the circulation in your body, you die. Cut off the circulation of blessing through you, and you cease to experience God's best for your life. We are conduits of blessing where we live, where we work, with our play, where we play. And as we bless, He blesses us more. And as we bless, He blesses us more because He knows that an investment in us is an investment to others. Kind of foundation verse for this series is found in the core foundational verse of this blessed to be a blessing idea. And it's found in Genesis chapter 12, very first book of the Bible, in the 12th chapter, the very beginning of the Bible. The world has lost its mind. They've thrown God aside. They're each going their own way. They don't know God. They don't know His character. They don't know His purposes. They don't know what He's a fan of and what He's not a fan of. So God says, I'm going to reveal myself to them. So the way He does it, He says, I'm going to choose a guy, and I'm going to reveal myself to him. And through him, I'm going to reveal myself to the world. And this guy's name was Abram, to be changed to Abraham later. And he took Abraham, and he says, this is what he said to Abraham in Genesis chapter 12. This is really, really important. He says to Abraham, I will make you into a great nation, and I will bless you. I will make your name great, and you will be a blessing. And all the people on earth will be blessed through you. Abraham, I'm going to bless your socks on off. Oh, wait a minute. You're wearing sandals. Okay. I'm just going to bless you. And through you will all of the nations of the earth be blessed. So he took Abraham and created his chosen people, the Hebrews, eventually the Jews. It was through the Jews that we received the Word of God. It was through the Jews that we received our Savior, Jesus. It was through the Jews that the gospel went to the ends of the earth. And so if you have ever received forgiveness, if ever you've received new hope, if ever you've received the new beginning, if ever you've received the assurance that you're going to spend eternity in heaven with Jesus, the reason you have that blessing is because God blessed Abraham, and He blessed him to be a blessing. If Abraham had been a grounding and not a conduit, you wouldn't have the gospel. But because Abraham was blessed to be a blessing, we're blessed. That is a principle from Scripture, one of the foundational principles in Scripture. This idea of blessing is a central focus of God's covenant relationship with His people. Wherever you see, He says, okay, come unto me, all you that are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. He says, come to me, those that want a relationship with God and want your sins forgiven and want a new beginning. Come. Part of this covenant is always be, and I will bless you, and through you will all of the nations of the earth be blessed, from Abraham to the Jews to the church. Look at these words from Jesus, Matthew chapter 5. No one lights a lamp and then puts it under a basket. Instead, a lamp is placed on a stand where it gives light to everyone in the house. In the same way, let your good deeds shine out for all to see, so that everyone will praise your heavenly Father. He didn't teach this in a seminary to a bunch of divinity students who were going to be full-time pastors, looking kind of pale and skinny, you know? He didn't do that. You know who he taught this to? The crowd that came to him at the Mount of Beatitudes. Thousands of people, fishermen, carpenters, workmen, farmers. They all just regular people like you and me gathered before him. And he said, in the same way, let your good deeds shine before men that they might see your good deeds and give praise to your heavenly Father. He was saying what we're talking about today. You're blessed to be a blessing. And God has sent you to bless where you work, where you live, and where you play. So here's my dream. Here's my hope. That all over this city, person after person who doesn't even follow Christ would say, I might not believe what they believe, but thank God that they're in my office. Thank God that they're in my neighborhood. Thank God that they're in my school. I don't believe this business about Jesus on the cross and rising from the dead. That seems to me like fairy tales. But oh my gosh, if this person wasn't in the office, this person brings so much joy, compassion, love. Oh man. That they might see your good deeds and glorify your Father who is in heaven. So here's a few series questions as we launch into this new series. What if every church blessed every city? What if every church, and church is never, ever, ever, ever in Scripture a building. Church is always people. When I say church, I do not mean this. This is a building. When I say church, I mean you. You're the church. What if every church blessed every city? All over this nation, all over this world. But let's talk about our nation. What if every church was loving and blessing their city in amazing ways? What a transformation that would be. What would the reputation of Christians be as opposed to so often what it is right now, where we're known for what we're against and, no, we don't approve of this and we're known for this? What if we were known for blessing? Second question, what if every Christian blessed every neighbor? How would that change our streets, our apartment complex, our neighborhoods? What if every Christ follower just gave him or herself to blessing their neighbors? Maybe even the radical step of learning their names. Can you imagine the walls that would come down? You're not there preaching. You're just loving. You're just blessing. So how do we do this? Because here's what's happened so often. Go! Preach! Blah, blah! God bless you! Don't forget to give! And choom! Dude, thanks, man. Thank you for helping me so much, you know? We don't want to do that. And what we say here regularly, if it doesn't work on Monday, we're not going to talk about it on Sunday. So how does it work? I'm glad you asked. In your program, you were given something that is going to share with you what we're calling a bless strategy. Over the next 4 weeks, you are going to learn a strategy that will change your life if you practice it. And even more importantly, it's going to change the lives of the people in your sphere of influence. It's written on this card here. And basically, here's what the bless strategy is. It's five simple rhythms that the Christ follower practices and follows as they see themselves sent to bless where they live, work, and play. Very quickly, it follows the acrostic of the word bless. The first is begin in prayer. And I'm going to give you a resource at the end of our talk today that'll help you get going with this. But first, we'll just go through it big picture first. You begin in prayer. You don't begin just going. You begin in prayer. The second step of the blessed strategy to your where you live, work, and play is you listen. Why is it important? Because every person you know is looking for someone who cares enough to listen. Listens to their hopes, their dreams, their pains, their needs, their challenges. Jesus was a master at this, and we want to become people who listen to the needs of our community. You don't start by talking. I'm not a big witnesser. I don't walk around witnessing four spiritual laws. A lot of people are, and Lord bless them, that ain't me. But people around me come to know Jesus, especially hairdressers. You know, and you know what happens? I go in and I sit there, and for 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8 months, I just love this person. I just listen. I ask questions about their life, and I truly listen. Once in a while, I say, hey, I'll pray about that if that's okay with you. Sure. And over time, something beautiful happens. And they just always end up just selling out to Jesus. It's just wonderful. It's because but you just listen. But in life as well, to listen, to bend your ear and not be in this mindset of, I'm a Christian, I've been called to say, I've got to preach the gospel. No. Your first call to begin with prayer and then listen. Seek to understand before being understood. Then eat. My favorite. Did you know that eating is a spiritual practice? Having a meal with someone is one of the most spiritual things you can do. But let me define it. Eating a bag of Doritos at night by yourself is not a spiritual practice. That is satanic activity. And by the way, eating, when you eat with someone, defenses come down. All this good endorphins, I think that's the right word. All this good stuff is happening, and you begin to share and do some life. It's a vulnerability because you're admitting to hunger and so on. It's one of the most powerful, powerful ways to bless a person is to sit and have a meal with them and just listen to them. By the way, I'm going to give you a shortcut. If you really want that full spirit power anointed ministry, Mexican food. All right. Then you've begun in prayer, you listen, you sit and you do some life together, you have them over, you have some good ribs, man. Stay away from tofu. You have good ribs. Then you look for ways to serve. So you got this guy at the office, and his marriage is blown up because he did something stupid. And now he has to move out. He's going to go get a room over here in a little garage behind somebody's house. And you're talking to him. He goes, yeah, I got to be out by Saturday morning. And then you say, can I help you move? What? Can I help you move? No. I'm getting divorced. And I made a stupid mistake. I'm the problem. I'm not a good person. Yeah. Can I help you move? Yeah. All right, I'll see you there at 9:00. And you help them move into the little room in the little house behind the garage. You just serve them. You just care for them. Yeah, but they're not Christians. Neither were you when Christ died for you. You serve. Then you get a chance. Okay, why are you doing this? What happened to you? You share your story, the final S of bless, your story. See, one of the reasons that we don't share Jesus with people, we go 20 years and never even let people know we're a Christ follower, is because we think we have to answer the eschatological implications of the book of Revelation. That we have to give a reason, how come it's an inspired book? What about contradiction? What about and because I don't know all those answers? You don't have to know it. Leave that for the theologians in the ivory towers. What you need to know is, what has he done for you? Here's what you need to know. I was blind and now I see. You share your story. That's your most powerful resource. What God has done for you. By the way, through this series, we're going to give you ways to do this. All of this. At the end of this series, you're going to be so equipped. It's incredible. So let's finish up today, 10 minutes ago. With prayer. Prayer is how we discover our mission and how we do our mission. And so on this card that you received, it's bless, do this, and then bless, pray this. So on the do this, it's the B-L-E-S-S. But on the pray this, I'm going to ask you to start with someone in your life. Who has come to your mind? A coworker, a neighbor, an ex-wife, a friend, who? And that person, I'm going to ask you to pray this for them every day. 1 Timothy 2:1 says, I urge you, first of all, to pray for all people, asking God to help them, intercede on their behalf, and give thanks for them. This is Paul talking to us. So here's the prayer. God, where are you already working, where I live, work, and play, and how do I join you? The way you join him is with a blessed strategy, and the first step of a blessed strategy is you begin with prayer. On your Connect card that you guys turn in every week, which I really appreciate, I love to know that you were here and be able to pray with you and see things that you sign up for, I'm going to ask you to take a courageous step today. Who's that one person? I'm going to ask you, where it says begin with prayer, write the name of that person who you're going to pray for this week and drop this card into the offering boxes. And then here's how you pray. I don't know how to do this, Robert. I ain't not a spiritual cat. Okay, me neither. Here's how you pray. Body, pray for their good health, protection, and strength. Labor, pray for their work, for the labor of their hands and their financial security. Emotional, pray for the emotional health and quality of life, for joy, peace, and hope. Social, pray for their relationships with their families and friends and with you. Spiritual, pray for their salvation, that they will come to a saving faith in Jesus Christ. Just every day, take 2 minutes, 1 minute, and pray for this person. Begin your blessed strategy. So, here's what I want you to do with what you've heard today. One, try to be here every week of this series. It builds, B-L-E-S-S, and this could be a really, really, really important life-changing series for you and for me. Don't miss. And then secondly, serve our city with us. Please, don't miss this opportunity for Torrey Pines Church to wrap its arms around our city and love our city. Do you know that if everybody that calls this their church home serves for 2 hours on that serve week, and we're not going to meet here. We're going to serve all over the city in all kinds of projects. Brian's going to tell you more about it in just a moment. We will put in over 700 community service hours to our city. And we're part of a network that all of the churches of our East Lake network, we're all doing it on the same weekend, is going to put over 13,000 hours of serving our cities. That's history making. That's life changing. And we're going to be a part of it. And do you like that shirt that I had on and how snugly it fit me? The only way to get one is when you sign up to be on a project, a team project. And we're going to have them next week ready to hand out. Kids, we are on the brink of something really, really cool. Let's jump in.